Mainly Jubilee Orders of Merit and varying Commonwealth Awards. Are they? It's like when my sister was riding a horse back in the day and they used to go to pony camp at a place called Tweezledown, it's called. And every single person who attended the weekend at Tweezledown won a rosette, even if they didn't even jump a fence, because you can't have competition anymore. It's like Winnie the Pooh. And everyone won prizes.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, a trade court in the US has blocked President Trump's sweeping tariffs, including levies on China, Mexico and Canada. Judges have ruled that Mr. Trump does not have the unilateral authority to impose taxes on nearly every country. The White House filed a notice of appeal immediately after the verdict was announced. Republican commentator Paul Dudridge says Mr. Trump is likely to win.
The president can impose blanket tariffs in times of national emergency, and he's declared an emergency. This court isn't buying that. And so this will just get kicked up to the Supreme Court, and I can't see Trump losing to the Supreme Court when ultimately they'll say that this power has to rest with the administration. If the executive believes that we are in a time of economic emergency, I think the Supreme Court will support him.
Elon Musk has confirmed his time at Donald Trump's White House has come to an end. The Tesla owner, who led the Department of Government Efficiency, said he was thankful for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The UK is to set up a new military command to counter continual and intensifying levels of cyber warfare. It'll be part of the government's long-awaited strategic defence review due out on Monday. The Ministry of Defence will also spend more than £1 billion to develop new battlefield technology systems. Two people are reported to have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in central Gaza. The UN's World Food Programme says hordes of hungry people were involved. Some shots were fired, but it's not clear where they came from. Yesterday, the Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, broke down as he called for urgent help for civilians.
I have grandchildren. I know what they mean to their families. And to see the situation of the Palestinians without us having hearts to do something is beyond the ability of any normal human being.
The government has stepped in to take control of the planning process for two major reservoirs. It wants to fast-track the project in East Anglia and in Lincolnshire, the first such plans in 30 years. And Enzo Maresca has lifted his first trophy as Chelsea manager after their victory in the Conference League final. They came from behind to beat Spanish side Real Betis 4-1.
Hopefully it can be a starting point to build a winner mentality. You need to win games, you need to win competition. For sure, the trophy we won tonight is going to make us better.
The victory means Chelsea have become the first team to win all four current European trophies. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.26 after closing down 52 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 19. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas. A high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Home comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
I love it. I love it. It's just another beautiful melody written by those talented lads. But is it appropriate for having a 5 a.m. wake up, because the sun isn't coming up, is it, really? I mean, it is. I mean, it's shining on us, but we can't see it most of the time. I don't know. It's lovely. I'd love to have that. Well, definitely that's in the pending tray, I think. So what we're doing is we are putting out there 7 or 8, I think, ideas for, like the rooster at 4 a.m. We wanted something at 5 a.m. as well. It's just sort of soothing and calming, and that would be lovely, but not quite appropriate. So we basically said, could you suggest some things for us? And Al's been beavering away, and he's been so busy, he hasn't even had a cigarette yet, which is amazing. That's how busy he's been. It's still behind his ear. So that was, who was that for? That was the Beatles. What else have you got for us, Alex?
What a lovely morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah.
We've talked.
Do you know what this is from?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You all know what this is from. Really?
Good
Singing
morning.
In the rain.
Good morning. It's great to stay up.
The kind of choreography, it's the three of you, isn't it? Yeah, the two lads and the girl, of course it is. Who's Gene Kelly? Al, you're Gene Kelly, all right? And you're, what's his name? O'Connor? Connor? Something Connor? And I don't know her name. What's her name, Martha? You're that one. You have to be in the middle, though, because you're over on the left at the moment, which is fairly appropriate. That's a great one. But again, you wake up, it's a beautiful morning. It's the same kind of thing. So both beautiful songs, both absolute classics. What else have you got for us, Master? The same, you see. Is this the Rascals? Yeah. It's just wonderful, but when unfortunately it feels like we should be on holiday. Love it. Absolutely love that. The Rascals. I've never heard of the Rascals. Okay, so, you know, we've got a theme going. I don't know, can you play a song about It's a Beautiful Morning when it won't be? You know, we could play it about 12 times, or if global warming has its effect, maybe we should play it in 30 years' time when every day will be blazing hot. What else have you got for us? Possible. Is that Billy Cotton? All right, that's not Arthur Askey. The wakey-wakey-wakey-wakey. You don't think the Arthur Askey one... All right, can somebody help us? Because I think Arthur Askey had the wakey-wakey club or something, didn't he? And our listeners will be good. You'll be all over this like a rash because you're of the age that will... Some of you will remember Arthur Askey. The Gen Z, they don't even know what they're looking for, to be honest. So did he do something? Didn't he do something? You lucky people. Was that Arthur Askey? You lucky people. Something like that. You'll find some Arthur Askey that's appropriate. Billy Cotton. It's not quite there yet. Anything else?
Wake up, it's a beautiful morning.
Yeah, again, brilliant. Who's this? What's their name? The Boo Radleys. Brilliant. It's not right, is it? The Boo Radleys. Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. It's too lovely. It's like, I mean, if I was going to pick a song, I'd have Katrina and the Waves, to be honest. Yeah? Katrina and the Waves? It's one of the greatest happy songs of all time. If you want to be happy, you listen to that or you listen to some Marvin Gaye or something, you know, and you just think, yeah, it's good to be... Declutter your lives, everyone. Now what? What else have we got? Because this is Al's favourite. Okay.
5, 4, 3,
cliche.
2, 1.
Yeah, okay. You swung me. Okay, that's that. At the moment, that's the one. All right. Have we got anything else, or is that it?
Good morning.
Yeah, again. Yeah, good morning, is much more appropriate, but it is Chris Evans' thing, isn't it? You know, who's he? Well, no. All right, fair enough. My favourite is still I Love the Sound of Napalm, the Smell of Napalm in the Morning, but again, it's inappropriate for a news station to be playing that, because there will be, you know, some warfare somewhere. So, is that everything? That's it. So, at the moment, unless you can do better, can we get Alex's favourite again? And at the moment, this is what we're going to play at 5 o'clock.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. I don't know how long the joke will last. It might... What, sorry? It feels right, yes. Something sort of sad and twisted, like Banksy's Dismal Land. Do you remember Dismal Land? That's kind of what this programme is a bit... Dismal Land, a new low. Roger Whittaker's New World in the Morning. Roger Whittaker was an incredible whistler, really whistler. Do you remember Harry? Harry, who used to do on drums, he was here and gone off to work for his dad, I think. He he came up with that fantastic line. I said, "You youngsters today, they don't know anything about the war. What do you know about D-Day?" And he said, "I don't know. I wasn't there." And he said it absolutely straight. And it's just like the perfect answer. You go, "Yeah." If you have a history exam, you just put at the top of your answer sheet, "Don't know. Wasn't there." And then just get AI to write your essay for you. You know, that's what everybody's doing now, isn't it? OK, so that's what we're going to be doing. Brilliant. The Lazy Song by Bruno Mars. Wake up, Mozart's Eine kleine Nacht music. Let's get ready to rumble. Not quite. Roger Whittaker. It has to reflect the weather and mood. How about Black is Black or Highway to Hell? Yeah, would be Len, Don't Steal My Sunshine. Again, anything to do with the sun, I'm not sure. Tommy Trinder was the guy that said, "You lucky people." Thank you. And the B-side of Fulham's Cup final song in 1975, which Fulham, of course, lost 2-0 to West Ham, didn't they? Arthur Askey said, "Hello, Playmates." All right, some Louis Armstrong, you say. We were talking about tailgating, weren't they? And the security-conscious people who run the estate, rather grandly called, of this block of flats that I'm in. And I said, why are they worried about tailgating? Well, they're not going to get into any houses. But no, Christopher's got in touch. And Chris, of course, is a man who used to work at the Royal Mail. And you're absolutely right, Chris. We were told when I was working at the Royal Mail, tailgaters, to be mindful of them when delivering mail and parcels to apartments such as yours. It's not about robbing your apartment. These are opportunist thieves who snuck in to pinch parcels and the mail. I've told you about the time when I didn't have my bike, so I walked to the tube station, very, very unusual for me, and I discovered things that you don't discover when you're in a car or on the train. I discovered people doing things, and I actually spoke to them. And there was a guy, and again, I've told this story before, there's a guy putting a wanted poster up, like a sort of dead or alive type poster. And I said, "What's that? Is that what are you doing?" I thought it was for a lost cat, but it was a picture of this guy on a bike. And it said, "We know who you are. We've reported you to the authorities." I said, "What's he done?" He said, he rides past all our houses. This is in Chiswick. It's quite posh there. He said he rides past all our houses and just takes all our Amazon deliveries from our doorsteps. I'm thinking, how low? Seriously? You're nicking all that stuff? Dreadful. Ian, beloved, thank you. The sun rising for the 5 a.m. call. No, but the sun, it doesn't. I mean, technically it does rise, but it's not really rising, is it? I don't think it is, anyway. Keep that 5 a.m. wake up. It makes me giggle every time, says Teddington Todd. All right, TT, we shall do that. Dawid. Hello, Dawid. Morning again. Next, some comments will be on how the Canadian Prime Minister was talking to the King, putting one leg at the podium at the same level of where the King was sitting. I loved it because he don't do that here in the UK. You can't even talk to the person next to you. Did you see how calm they were? How friendly and relaxed? Such an occasion. Anyway, I don't really care how Trudeau was dressed. They were all respectful and polite. That's all that matters. Don't you agree, matey? Yes, absolutely, I agree. I saw my Instagram sent me. It's obvious that Instagram is somehow listening to my verbal diarrhea, which is called logorrhea, I think. There is actually a word for having non-stop talking. Logorrhea, I think it's called. Anyway, so it must be listening to me because we often do this thing where we say members of the royal family do something really ordinary but still get on the front page of the papers. You know, like William kicked a football the other day or threw a dart, you know, that kind of thing. And it always gets on the front page. So it sends me things about the royal family doing things. And they showed me one, and I'd forgotten this. This was when Kate and William attended the premiere of a Mission Impossible film. And Tom Cruise put out his hand and held her hand to walk her up the steps. Now, protocol demands that you do not only, you can't really speak to a royal out of turn, you're certainly not allowed to touch them. I remember the Australian Prime Minister got into terrible trouble with our Daily Mail readers because he put his arm sort of to the back of the Queen to usher her in, and you don't do that. So what Kate did was he walked her up the stairs and then let go of her hand. And she quietly moved her handbag from her right hand to her left hand so he couldn't take her hand anymore, which I thought was a really lovely way of basically saying to him, you're not supposed to do that, you know. And it was sort of embarrassing for her, I guess. We've also come up with another theme, because Charles was wearing lots and lots of medals in the Canadian Parliament. God, we're getting some traction out of this story, aren't we? So he was wearing lots and lots of medals. And I asked, quite innocently, why has he got loads of medals? And apparently they're all orders of merit from the Commonwealth and things like that. So I thought, what do you deserve a medal for? Because I think one day we should all just turn up wearing loads of medals that we haven't deserved. How many would you have, Martha? One? Or would you go for the full 10? One, just one. What would it be for? Have a think about something you've done that you think, I think I should get a medal for services to guide dogs for the blind, because I've signed up to sponsor Piper, a puppy, who they are, a Labrador Retriever cross, who they are training. So I think I deserve a feel-good one, you know, virtue signal, saying, look at me, aren't I a good person, rather than the horrible things that I've done and shouldn't do, or shouldn't have done. Maybe I should get another one for decluttering my life and throwing out negativity. That's the key to happiness, throwing out negativity. Luckily, I've got past the stress days. I've told you so many times about my breakdown. So my midlife crisis happened in my sort of 40s, and now I'm sort of through there. And the pleasure of simple things sounds, I know that sounds a bit sort of Mark Twain-ish, but it's true. The simplicity, just chucking out something that you think you need, but you actually don't. And I've realised that with my bicycle, which I paid an awful lot of money for, just because something's expensive doesn't necessarily mean it's better. Have a think about that. You see, all these words of wisdom. He's going to have a Jerry Springer show. Yeah? Do you remember his little sort of sermon that he'd do at the end of the show? I really loved that. It's 16 past five. Good morning, Joanne Webb.
Thanks, Ian. Good morning. Two lanes are closed on the M2 westbound at Junction 2 at the A228. It's because of the emergency bridge works, and as a result, the exit slip road at Junction 2 is also closed. Now, there are problems on the M25 in two places. Firstly, clockwise at Junction 7 at the M23, three lanes are closed for the emergency works, and then also two lanes are closed clockwise at Junction 13 at Staines, and that's also because of emergency repair works. Also, the problems in Beckenham continue. The high streets had to be closed in both directions, and that's because of a fire in a building.
This is LBC.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, wow, wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World, because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to play BetVictor's daily free-to-play guaranteed prize wheel.
What guaranteed prizes does this guaranteed prize wheel guarantee?
The guaranteed prize wheel means you're guaranteed to win prizes, like free bets, free spins, exclusive offers and cash. Guaranteed.
What was it called again?
The guaranteed prize wheel.
Well, I guarantee I'll give it a spin.
And I guarantee you'll win a prize.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on BetVictor's guaranteed prize wheel. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Opt in and spin the wheel. Rewards expire 24 hours after claiming. Gambleaware.org.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I'm a bit guilty because I sort of dissed Southend and Leon C a bit. They are quite, you know, but am I being unfair? If you live in Southend, get in, or if you live in Leon C, if you live somewhere in that area in Essex, am I being unfair by describing it as a bit gloomy, a bit dismal? I don't know. I don't want a contract out on me for saying that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair, and maybe I just need to. So David Amos, bless him, would have put me right, wouldn't he? Yeah. Raj is a new caller. In Taplow, it says tagline suggestion. What's that? You've got an idea for 5 o'clock?
No, I do not have a suggestion. I just woke up at 4:30 this morning and I was giggling away because I heard you talking about the tagline,
yeah.
And I love the Thunderbird and the
yeah. I think we'll do it for a bit.
I think that's perfect.
You need to be part of the gang. You need to have a listener number and be part of the gang, cause, and that's the beauty of it. So any new listeners are just going, what is this?
Well, I've been listening to you for a while, and this is the first time I've ever called in, ever.
What's made you call, then? I'm glad you have.
Because I've been listening to you for a while, and I wasn't really sure about the changeover when you came on board.
Right.
How long has it been now?
2 years and about a month.
Yeah,
we're on. Like, yeah, we just had our anniversary dinner.
It goes so quickly, but I was like, not sure.
How long do you think it takes for someone to adjust to a new radio presenter? Because I think there are good theories on this. I think it's a lot longer than 2 years. I think it's at least 5 or 6.
Yeah, you're doing fabulous. You always make me laugh, so I love it. Yeah.
Well, our listening figures went up. Which was but to, yeah. Are we allowed to say that? We're allowed to say that, yeah. No, they really did. I know we joke about having 300 listeners, but we have a good gang. But it's the numbers are very important.
We do have a good gang.
But it's the sense of humour and the kind of the realism about life. That's why I like the listeners at this time in the morning, because you can't BS them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's important. You know. So carry on doing what you're doing.
You're absolutely. Okay, fair enough. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I have to get ready to go to work.
What do you do?
I work in IT. I work in the city, so.
What do you think of the Heathrow boss being asleep when Heathrow crashed?
I'm not surprised.
Should have turned over and switched the alarm off, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a lovely day, Raj. Nice to talk
to you.
All right, see ya. Taplow, what a lovely place. Have you been to Taplow? Have you ever been to Pangbourne? We used to play rugby against Pangbourne College, which is was a naval college. I don't know whether it still is. Beautiful place. And speaking of the Navy, if you go down to Devon, what's the Naval Academy down there across the river? The Naval Academy. God, it's beautiful there. It's so lovely. Right. Suits and trainers look ridiculous. You look completely unfinished and not the complete article. Nice pair of shoes, says Sticks in Thailand. Or boots, much more classy and classic. I think a friend of someone who works on the show was being... What is it when you go to the House of Lords and get... somethinged, you have to do a speech, ennobled, yes. And she was wearing, what was she wearing? She was wearing Dr. Martens, but she was also wearing a dress, or was she wearing a suit? Dress or something. She's in a sort of male power dress like Melania Trump does now. Okay, fine. So she was, I don't know. Dr. Martens in the House of Lords. What do you think? I know what Al's going to say. You're going to say, yeah, why not? Aren't you? Yeah, of course you are. And the really sort of... she's not a lord, is she? She's a dame. Oh, is she? She's a baroness. All right, so what? What's she done to deserve that? Has she got a medal? So what are we going to get a medal for? So I've got two medals, one for my services to guide dogs and one for... What was the other one? Can't remember what the other one was. What did I deserve a medal for? Decluttering my life? Throwing out negativity? Simplifying my life? So, you know, simple comforts, becoming Gandhi, if that's not disrespectful. Lap round the park. No, do you know what? I've decided, here's another thing I've decided, because I was pushing myself to try and beat my record round the park. And actually, I've realised it's pointless. What's the point? You know, I did it the other day and I went up this hill and I was trying to go up this hill as fast as I could. And I got to the top of the hill and I literally couldn't breathe. Tried to go up so fast, and it was quite steep, and I just thought to myself, I felt like I could feel my heart pounding in my chest, and I thought, this isn't good for me. I don't want to end up like poor old Andrew Marr on the rowing machine, do I? You know, you don't want to do that. Don't overstrain it. Just do, you know, something that might raise a sweat, but it's not going to get your heart pumping outside your chest, that kind of thing. When David Tennant played Doctor Who, he wore a suit with white trainers, looked very cool. Ian, it's the Britannia Royal Naval College. I went there, says Frank, in Bristol. Did you? Okay. Britannia Royal Naval College. Was it called? It wasn't always called that, though, was it? Have you been to... And by the way, have you been to the one in Greenwich? Well, that's an amazing place. You live across the road from it. Isn't it amazing? Absolutely amazing. Didn't they have the show jumping there for the 2012 Olympics? You didn't live in London, you probably weren't even born, were you? Yeah, I'm sure it was there. The best show jumping venue of all Olympics of all time has to be the last one in Versailles. Did you watch that? The 3-day eventing through just the most beautiful garden in the world. Ian, have you ever presented or commentated on TV, or has it always been radio? For some reason, I think you have, and the half memory keeps bugging me. Yeah, I did. I used to work for Sky and various others, but... Ian, you're thinking of Devonport, says Paul in Poplar. I think I am thinking of that. Ian, says Marilyn, I cannot believe the Heathrow boss having his phone on silent. I never have my phone on silent, and I don't work and with such a responsible job. Yes. OK, so speaking of phones, so one thing is, what would you have a medal for? Martha, have you given it some thought? What would you wear a medal for without really deserving one? What would you wear a medal for? Anyone want to tell us what they would wear a medal for? Working with me. Yes, OK. Someone who definitely deserves a whole sort of chest full of medals and ribbons is Just Jill from Westcliff, and here she is. Good morning.
Good morning, Ian. I've only just woken up and heard you talking about Southend. Uh-oh. What's wrong with Southend?
Well, what do you think of it?
Well, I was born here.
Right.
And lived here all my life. So, and? Yeah, it's okay.
Yes. So a resident says it's okay, but nothing more.
Yeah, I mean, if, as you know, because I can't see, if I could see, I'd appreciate it more because we've got the pier and
be a good thing.
The seafront. And David Amis was a very, very good friend
wonderful,
of mine.
Wonderful man.
He was at my 10th birthday 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe, you know, that he's not here.
I know, awful.
And he loved my Jagger, you know, who died, my guide dog Jagger, who died.
You're still waiting, aren't you, for next one?
2 years, 4 months. I had another letter back from them yesterday, so...
Did you hear I'm sponsoring one?
Then, I know, you're,
little
you're
Piper.
Doing well.
Go on, if you want to do it, don't. It doesn't. It can cost you as little as £5 a month.
Yeah.
And you Google guide dogs and then sponsor a puppy, all separate words. Go on there and you'll be able to pick three gorgeous puppies and just add to the money that we're helping to train them, because we don't have enough guide dogs, do we, Jill?
No, and we haven't got enough volunteers. As you know, I can't go out now because I haven't got my guide dog. Mm. And trying to get people, you know, just to take me for a walk is very difficult. And Alvin is now, you know, in a care home with his Alzheimer's. I'm actually going to have him home on Saturday for the first time since he's been in there.
Right. Do you think he'll be able to take you for walks outside now or not?
Hopefully. He's only coming home for a few hours.
Is he?
I mean, he's been in there 14 months now since I went in hospital.
Right.
And he had to be put into emergency care. And
so this is going to sound like a stupid question, but then I am stupid. What do you know what your husband looks like?
No, because I've never seen him.
Because
I've been married twice. My first husband, I can still, I mean, he's died now, but I can still remember what Mick looked like. And I can still remember, well, I've never seen my daughter or my grandchildren. And I heard last week I'm going to be a great-grandma.
Oh, wonderful. Another medal to add to your collection. So, I apologise for my clumsiness in asking this question, but have you sort of felt your family's faces?
Yeah, and when I go and visit Alvin, I always feel his head.
Do you?
To make sure he's had his hair cut and that he's had a shave.
Well, quite right.
You know,
you should see deal with. They don't shave. Even Martha never shaves.
And, of course, I've never seen my daughter, which that hurts me more than anything, really, that I've never seen Jacqueline.
Oh.
But she was born a year after I'd gone totally blind.
Oh,
so,
Jill.
Yeah, but I dream. I see in my dreams, you know, so...
You want to see some of my
the
dreams?
The good thing is, can I just... The really good thing about in Southend...
Yeah.
We, and this will please you, we have got a mental health charity called TrustLinks. I've been their patron now for 13, 14 years, and we're celebrating on July the 10th, the 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, they're called Growing Together Gardens.
You're amazing,
Jill. Where by people with mental health go to the centres.
Yeah.
And we've got one in Southend, one in Shrewsbury, one in Rochford, one in Thundersley, Basildon, and now we've got one starting on Canby Island this year.
Mm.
So people that have got mental disabilities can go there and not only grow flowers and vegetables, but they can grow themselves.
Amazing.
And we have fantastic events. We had a May Day, and we also have got a very good pensioners group.
Oh, chill.
Involved with that.
Yeah, so incredible.
We've got lots of...
Have you got a mobile phone?
Yes, but it's not an ordinary mobile phone.
All right, sort of Braille version, is it?
Well, no, it's a talking thing.
Right.
It doesn't work very well, and I get cut off, so I don't give people that phone number.
Mm. I tried to teach my mother to text
In
once.
Your Pocket,
Forget it. In Your Pocket. Can we look that up, Al, and put that on my document, please?
Pardon?
I'm speaking to Alex, my tech op. Could you just put that? What's it called again, Jill?
In Your Pocket.
In Your Pocket, mobile phone.
Can you find out details from the RNRB.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, you'll be glad to know you've got another signature to sponsoring a puppy in the last 5 minutes.
So
well done, Alex Baldock. Thanks to you, I've just set up my direct debit to Guide Dogs, something I've been meaning to do for ages. It won't cost you much. It's like £5 a month if you want, or you can put in £10,000 a month. It's totally up to you. Jill, you are an absolute...
Can I just tell you, the medals that I'm proud of was when I was in the Girls' Life Brigade.
All right.
And all the things I got there, but I've, as you know, I've got the MBE, the OBE. And the Pride of Britain Award.
So you are the listener who actually deserves some medals. I've got to go to get to the news, but it's a pleasure speaking to you, Jill.
What you're doing.
All right, darling. It's great to speak to you too. Well, she's an inspiration, isn't she? It's 5:30. The news headlines. Thomas Watts.
Judges have blocked Donald Trump's sweeping trade tariffs on nearly every country. The trade court in New York ruled he doesn't have the authority to impose the taxes using emergency powers. Four people have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in central Gaza. The UN's World Food Programme says hordes of hungry people stormed the building yesterday. Britain is to set up a new military command to counter a continual and intensifying level of cyber warfare. It'll be part of the government's long-awaited strategic defence review, due out on Monday. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas, a high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
This is LBC with Ian Payne. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
You went to... Oh, sorry, I'll carry on my conversation. You went to Goldsmiths. Did you? Oh, right. My sister went there. No, I was sort of slightly dissing Southend. I'm only joking. There's a bit of truth in it. I did go there quite a lot because I went out with someone there. And, it's such a long way. And I'm slagging off the entire South London because all the reprobates I work with all live there. And I said, oh, that area around Goldsmiths, and is it called New Cross or something? Around there. And it's just like, I just have so many terrible, terrible memories of driving through Clapham, through Brixton, and then on to there. I don't know why I even went there. And it was always a traffic jam. The A2, is it? The old Kent Road. Is it all those boxing gyms and around there? Anyway, ducking and diving. So I've just slacked off South End and South London now, basically. I couldn't live in South or East London. Unless it was Hoxton, I could probably live there, but it's not what it was. You wouldn't have us, no. So South London just feels very student-y to me. Whereas West and North London feel a bit more grown up. I don't know whether that's true or not. It just doesn't surprise me that you went to Goldsmiths. Not at all. No, not at all. Or indeed, you both live where you do. Right. Ian, can you please do the phone in? All right, fair enough. Dartmouth College, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Dartmouth College. You've dated a lot of people, says Meg. Well, I'm in my 60s, so I would have done, wouldn't I? Really? I have been divorced for 11 years, so one would say, or no, it's more than that now, 13, 14 years. So, anyway, something nice to know about Southend. Tell me something nice about Southend. Let's be positive. Let's declutter our lives and talk about good things. Good things about New Cross and good South London. Tell me some great things about South London and tell me some good things about South End. All right? So that I can be positive. So I can be a half full kind of guy. Ian, something nice, says Glyn, to know about South End. In November, the whole length of South End Pier, 1.3 miles. South End Pier is 1.3 miles long? No. What? In November, the whole length of South End Pier will be covered in knitted and crocheted poppies, says Glyn. And quite right, too. South End Pier is really 1.3 miles long, is it? Wow, I'm just looking at it. Yeah, it looks like something out of... What's that place called at the tip of Florida? What's that called? With that sort of long bridge-like road that goes... What are those called? That bit... No, it's not Three Mile Island. That's where the nuclear accident happened. No, this was... the Key Biscayne. It's the Keys, the Florida Keys. Yes, that's what it's called. Brilliant. That lady who's blind really got to me this morning. Inspiration, lovely lady. I'm going to sponsor a guide dog this morning, says Trevor. Trevor Salisbury, or are you Trevor in Salisbury? Whichever. Just do it. Do it now. Go online. Just put in... I've done it, and I very rarely do things like this. Just put in... If I see one of those people called who sort of approach you on the street wearing a... Chuggers, yeah. I will actually cross the road to avoid them. But this just got to me because we have loads of listeners who've lost their sight and they're all waiting for guide dogs because of the pandemic, etc. And they're all waiting for guide dogs. So just literally Google this. Guide dogs sponsor a puppy and pick one of three beautiful little puppies that are being trained and you can add to their training fees and just do something good. Today, 1.33 miles, Southend Pier is the city's most treasured historical icon, as well as being the longest pleasure pier in the world. It stretches for 1.33 miles out into the Thames estuary, putting Southend on the map as well as into the record books. Okay, that's a good thing about Southend. Why is the pier so long? Why would you need a pier that long? Do you take a train to get to the other end of it or something? Here we go. Sonny is in Ilford and he wants to talk about Southend. Good morning.
Hi, Ian.
What do you think of it?
I've just started listening recently, but you've dragged up some memories. We used to go every couple of years at least, if not every year, when we were children. My siblings and sometimes cousins and uncle and aunt and so forth. I remember one time when we went and the car broke down on the way. We need to top the water up and, this is a long time ago now.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a special place.
Is it a special place? Because I've been rather rude about it. What's great about Southend?
I think, it's changed over the time. It's been about 10 years since I've last been. But I think the Adventure Park, they had rides like you had at Warren Towers and Chessington, at least in my memory anyway,
mm-hmm.
At the time. And the arcade front, it was just... I suppose it was just classic English culture.
Have you been to the end of the pier?
Yep.
How do you get... Is there transport to take you to the end of the pier? You can't walk...
I'm trying to remember now. Oh. There was some transport, part of the way.
Why is the pier so big?
We didn't go many times.
Did you know the pier played a role through both of the World Wars? In World War I, when ships housing German prisoners of war were moored off the pierhead?
Well... I think it's classic to London. South England. I think it's South End is classic to South England and London.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know why. It's just something that we always had. It was always that you're going South End.
And you've moved all the way to Ilford now. Not that far.
Well, we always lived there, but not too far away. It's the nearest one for us, actually, the seaside. But it was just, this is the one you're going to go to, because it's...
There's something about British seaside resorts. I just think, oof, they're always cold and, you know, ice cream and donkey rides, and it just feels sort of, oof. If you're going to go to the beach, at least go somewhere where it's nice and warm.
Well, the grandparents would go through a group community to Margate.
Margate?
Or,
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's organisations to do that, but for us it was...
Why is it that so many, and I'm not suggesting any towns that I've mentioned, but it's so when you look at a sort of list of most deprived areas in Britain, where, you know, the population is however percent living in poverty, however they define that, they're often seaside towns, aren't they? Why is that?
Yeah, I agree with you. Blackpool is...
I've been to Margate. It's not Las Vegas, is it?
No.
Not really.
No, it's unfortunate, isn't it, in our country at the moment.
Okay. What are you up to today, Sonny?
Just got up early and caught your conversation. When I heard Southend, I thought...
Are you off to work?
I should mention it. Yeah, in a little while.
Nice one. See you, Sonny.
Thank you very much.
Sonny. Good things about Southend. The pier, there's a tram on the pier. Okay. Ian, the reason why the pier is so long is because of the mud flats. Right. Still don't understand that. Jane's annoyed. Southend Pier is the longest, certainly in the world. You've not been there, but have made random unpleasant comments about Southend, South and East London. I'm kind of teasing. Which are all very nice areas with parks and open spaces. Quite right. Blackheath is lovely. Greenwich, Dulwich is lovely. There are parts of... But, you know, it's the really sprawling urban stuff that just... I don't know, it just brings me down a bit. I know, but it's probably, you know, thriving and colourful and, you know, all the rest of it. And everyone's friendly to each other. Do you know everyone who lives in your road? I bet you do. Knocking on each other's doors, asking for bowls of sugar. There's me nodding at people in the lift, and that's the only contact I have. Whose life is sadder? Interesting question. Don't reflect too much, Ian. You'll just get depressed again. Redbridge is enriched with amazing green space. Is it Redbridge? Okay. Southend has award-winning beaches, and South London has several lovely bridges, parks and musical talent. Yeah, I'm only teasing, really. It's different. Alan says seaside towns tend to be deprived because there's never any large industry paying lots of money. Brighton, though, does buck the trend, doesn't it? Brighton is very lively. The Lanes, I think it's called. Some lovely shops there. My daughter went to university there. I see that the first company she worked for, my daughter, when she left university, was a popcorn maker called Proper Corn, which is actually very popular. And I see today that they've now branched out to, they're called Proper Crisps or Proper Chips, they call them, which is their version of crisps. It was incredibly popular. I remember she used to give me freebies. So I'd get a box, rather like Jill the Pill sending us all biscuits and things, the Holton sweets. So I got free orders of Proper Corn and in about two boxes. So there must have been about 120 packets of this stuff. And when I was at ITN, something about newsrooms... They just like the newsroom here, if you leave any food around, it will be eaten, no matter what it is. And the Proper Corn, 130 packets, would go in 20 minutes. They'd all be taken. It's amazing. Free food. If you ever want to be popular, bring in free food. Meant to say, you mentioned Dulwich and Greenwich and also Blackheath, which isn't in East London either. No, true. Haynot Forest and Fairlop Waters in Redbridge. Okay. That comment about seaside towns was a massive generalisation. I live in Hastings, and if you know Hastings, there's some fantastic... Yeah, there are, of course, but I'm saying that inordinately a number of towns on the coast tend to come to the low end of polls onto, you know, which is the most... Well, the richest places. Let's go to Roy. He's in Southend. Hello, Roy.
No, it's Ray, Ian.
It's
come
Ray.
On. You should know by now.
Ray in Southend. Sorry, I've got a typo there. Tell me about Southend, Bray.
Well, Southend, I've lived there all my life. I love it. I have moved away a couple of times, but I've always ended up being absorbed back into it.
Absorbed.
And I agree with what you're saying. It has got... there is that... What's the word? The deprivation is probably a bit of a strong word, but it's true.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It is.
No.
It is slightly deprived.
It has got this... what would you call it? For myself, my own personal thing, it kind of... It's because of the seafront...
Yeah.
And because of... It's that open space vibe that you get, you know, to go for a walk along the seafront or a cycle ride along the seafront.
Yeah.
It gives you that vibe.
It's not the most beautiful sea view, is it?
They've got
a big chemical factory there. Huh?
I go down there some mornings on a sunny morning on my way to get some breakfast on a Sunday morning or something. And actually, it's kind of, I'd go as far as to say it's Rivierish.
Rivierish. Okay. Well, I'll take that from you. Is it true? Because when I was seeing someone who lived there, they didn't. The local council didn't allow Ubers. Is that still the case? Pardon? So say something. Sorry, your line broke up. Do they have Ubers?
Yes. I don't think we can call an Uber from where we are. I'm not really
We're gonna try and fix your line, Ray. It might be a South End line. Don't know. No, we're gonna fix your line. So I don't know what was wrong with that. Chris says, Ian, the best thing about South End is the way out. You'll be cancelled. Please stop running down areas that thousands of people happily live in cohesively, says Jane. There are nice areas and not so nice in most boroughs. What's wrong with you this morning? Just an observation. That's all. You don't have to take it personally. I've turned it into something positive. Can you tell me some good things about Southend that I've missed? That's all. That's all I'm saying. Listen, I come from Basingstoke, so, you know, I can talk to you about places that aren't necessarily in the top five attractions to visit in Britain. It's 14 to 6. Joanne Webb.
Thanks, Ian. The M1 is closed southbound between junctions 5 at Watford and 1 at Staples Corner. It's because the overnight works are still taking place. On the M25, clockwise, just before junction 24 at Potter's Bar, one lane's had to be closed because a van's broken down. Also on the M25, it's very busy anti-clockwise from junction 15 at the M4 to 13 at Staines. And that's because the overnight works are still taking place and only one lane is open. Two lanes are closed on the M2 westbound at junction 2 at the A228. The exit slip road is also closed. It's for those emergency bridge works. And in Beckenham, the high streets had to be closed both ways because of a fire in a building.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Is it time to decriminalise the possession of cannabis? Well, a commission that's been set up by the London Mayor, Sadiq Khan, and chaired by a very prominent politician, thinks it probably is. The chair is Charlie, now, of course, Lord Faulkner, who's a KC, and joins me now. How am I going to get it? If it's decriminalised, how will I buy it?
Well, that's the compromise that is made. You have to buy it through criminal sources unless you've got...
How will your recommendations work, Lord Faulkner? For personal use, but the minute I go to someone on Blackheath High Street or Greenwich High Street, I'm breaking the law, am I not?
You're not breaking the law, but the person who's selling it to you is. The current position, Nick, is that so many people get it now so easily that it is extremely unlikely to have an impact on the actual amount that people use.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back this morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire? With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself. If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with Well Kid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The Well Kid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
The Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with Ian Payne.
Well, we started something here. I was joshing. There is an element of truth in what I said about Southend. Jane says, you've never been there. I assure you I have. By the railway station. What's that giant sort of pink building? It's just like, what is this doing there? I don't know. But now the backlash has started, so Paul has got in touch. I don't know if are you the Paul who's always chastising me? I'm not sure. We have so many Pauls. Good morning, Ian. The best thing about South London is it's not North London. Fair enough. And it's horses for courses. You see, they're big. They look at smiling. Oh, look at you. You're from South London. Where are you from? I thought you were a Brighton. You're from Streatham. What, like Kate Mosk? All right, excellent. Ray's back. Hi, Ray.
How you doing? You all right?
All right. Why's the pier so long?
You know what? I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to break a world record, I think, mate.
Something to do with the mud flats, I'm being told.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't either. Why would you want a pier that's 1.3 miles long?
It's a lovely walk. Have you ever walked to the end of the pier?
No.
Well, try it. You won't be able to ride that fancy bike down there, but you could have a stroll.
Why wouldn't I be allowed to ride my fancy bike down there?
Because you're not allowed to ride bikes down the pier.
Oh, aren't you? Why? They think you're going to knock someone over?
Probably.
But you're allowed a tram, probably. But not a bike.
Well, you can get a train back if you haven't got the energy to get back.
What's at the end of the pier? Is it like a pot of gold or something? What's at the end?
No, there's a nice little restaurant down there, and it's just nice to be out there, to be fair.
I'm glad you're putting me right. Frankly, that's if anyone wants to tell me I'm completely wrong. Thank you, Ray. What are you up to today, mate?
Well, I'm working at the moment, and then I'll hopefully be home by about 10 o'clock, and I'll be sitting in my back garden with a bit of sunshine if it decides to share it.
What's your football team?
I'm a Gooner.
Oh.
Yes,
that's it. As a sort of slight sense of tumbleweed there, but the women did brilliantly, didn't they? Absolutely. Right, Mark is in Annick, and you have donated to the Guide Dog Sponsor a Puppy charity.
I just got my little puppy. I'm looking at him now, Piper.
I'm a Piper man as well. Isn't he lovely? Little Piper, or is it she?
We're both on the same puppy then, yeah?
Yeah. How much are you putting in, you miser? How much are you putting in?
A tenner, I'm a Porsche.
A tenner, yeah, fair enough.
It's
great,
you know,
isn't it? You just feel good about yourself. You're saying, I'm finally doing something good rather than take, give, give.
Yeah, but the reason for my call is that my auntie and uncle were both blind.
Oh, right.
My uncle Joe was blind and deaf.
Oh.
And he went to the Helen Keller School.
Did he?
Yeah,
Where's
he did.
That?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Helen Keller was this American blind and deaf girl who everybody sort of wrote off.
Absolutely.
And apparently she learned to speak by talking through a balloon, feeling the vibrations of a balloon. Well, my uncle did the same thing.
Wow.
So he could talk.
Yeah.
He could communicate. He'd feel your face. They both do it. They'd feel your face so they could see you.
Oh, yeah.
But amazing people, absolutely amazing. I thought, you know what? You motivated me, mate, to be honest. You thought, get off your butt and do it.
Listen, I sort of big myself up internally and think, you know, more people are listening to the programme and I'm sponsoring a charity, so I can't be all bad.
We'll forgive you your sins.
Thank you very much. And is Annick, am I right in thinking Annick is near the coast or not?
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world. I'm a chef up here. I moved up here from London about 2 years ago.
I know you are, and it's beautiful there, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's absolutely... Well, I live in a little village outside, and it's called Wooler, which is
right, okay.
Well, it's gorgeous.
It is, and I... Sorry, I've got loads of people suddenly ringing up, Mark, so I'm not being rude.
No
just
problem,
got
mate.
Loads of people.
You take
nice
care.
To speak to you, and well done for donating to the Guide Dog Charity. Just do it today. Guide dogs are in short... supply, and people like Jill, as one of our blind listeners, has been waiting for over 2 years, 3 months or something for a guide dog. And she can't leave the house because her husband's not been very well. And she's a wonderful person. And she's written a book called Just Jill about all the things she does. She just doesn't stop raising money, doing these kind of things, inventing things to help people without their sight to cross the road and various others. But she can't get a guide dog. I think it will be her fifth or sixth. She can't get one. So look, just help in some tiny way. Just Google this. Guide dogs. That takes you to their website. Guide dogs sponsor a puppy. Go on there and you'll get the choice. Click on sponsor, choose your dog, and you can pick out three beautiful puppies. We're with Piper. Kathy is near Southend as well. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I've started something here. Would you like to up or diss Southend?
So I moved to Westcliff 2018. Best thing I did, I lived in Leighton. And at the moment, I have to go in every weekend to look after my dad, mm-hmm. who'll be 100 this year. And when I get on the train back to Westcliff, I just breathe. My dad lives in Dorston, and I just breathe. And there's not so many people. I go down to the seafront. It's gorgeous. It's lovely. Yeah. Best thing I ever did.
Really?
People are lovely. My neighbours are fantastic.
What's that big pink building by the station? Do you know the one I mean?
Pink building?
There's a huge...
What, Westcliff station?
No, in Southend. Right in the centre of Southend, there's this, as you come out of the railway station, you're hit by this kind of, I think it's pink, a great big pink monstrosity. I don't know what it is.
I know there's a big college down there.
Right.
So, but I don't think it's pink. I'm not
right.
sure.
Actually. I might be.
But, I used to be a black cab driver in London. There are no Ubers allowed in Southend.
I was right. Why is that?
The council vetoed it, apparently.
The council is very pro black cabs.
Black cabs or minicab taxi firms, right. which I support. Yeah, so you were right about that, the Uber.
That's
but the high street, Southend High Street, like all high streets, you know, has gone. You know, is not good anymore.
No.
The time I've moved here since 2018, the high street has changed dramatically.
Really,
but other than that. It's lovely.
Good. Well, I'm glad we're exuding some positivity. And thank you for listening and thank you for taking part. Everyone says you go to Rossi's Ice Cream Parlour in Southend. That'll big you up. The reason why the Southend Pier is so long, I'm told, is because of the tides. Something to do with the tides. Dennis says, I'm never ringing in. Okay. I'm not phoning your show, Payne, even if you sponsor my phone bills for the next 12 months. I'll sponsor your phone bills for the next 12 months if you ring me. No, I won't. Look for all the celebrities who appeared on Jamie and Jim's Friday night dinner from Southend Pier, says Glyn, from Danny DeVito to Usain Bolt. They've all been on the pier, but not you, says Glyn. Fair enough. Well, Usain Bolt wouldn't take long to get to the end of the pier, would he? He's been clocked at 25.7 miles an hour, which is like astonishing speed for a human being. Get in a car and do 25 miles an hour and you'll think, someone runs this fast. David's in Crouch End. He wants to talk about Southend and Leon Sea. Hello, David.
Hello, Ian. You OK?
Yeah, very good, thank
great.
You. Enlightening.
Yeah, well, Southend on Sea and Leon Sea aren't really on sea at all. They're on the Thames Estuary. Leon Sea was added by the old London Tilbury and Southend Railway directors in the 1850s to encourage day trippers to get more money. So they're actually on the Thames Estuary. But also, Southend Pier isn't quite as long as it used to be because 50 years ago, 1975, there was a fire at the end and a bit of it fell into the estuary. And it shortened the pier a bit, and also the old station for the pier railway disappeared too.
What?
And,
what is that about?
Yeah.
Piers are always on fire, aren't they? Piers are always burning. Brighton had a bad fire, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. Yes, you know. But it's not a tram that goes along the pier. It's a diesel railway now. But in the 60s, when I was a boy, it used to be an electric railway. And after the fire... It was, you know, when they reopened it, they converted it to a diesel railway.
Wow.
But it's a very, honestly, I think Lee and Southend are very underrated, you
Go
know.
On, tell me something great about Southend.
Well, it's got very nice pubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about Leon Sea is that's where you get all the seafood, you know, your cockles and
cockles
your mussels and
what have you. Is Jamie Oliver from there?
Pardon?
Someone says Jamie Oliver's from there. Is he?
I wouldn't know about that.
I know he's
you
from
know,
Essex.
But we used to go down to Leon Sea in my dad's old car on Sunday afternoons, and we used to have a good time, you know? It was really nice. It is a nice place. I don't know why it's got this unjustified reputation for sort of like, you know, being sort of like a bit down at hill. It's not down at hill at all.
Well, I would advise people to go there and choose for themselves. All right.
So would I.
Thank you very much, David.
Okay.
Really
okay.
appreciate the call.
Okay.
Well,
cheers.
I didn't expect that. We were going to do I wasn't expecting to sometimes the subjects and you guys just take us like a tidal river. You just take us wherever and you're never quite sure where it's going to be going. Eastbourne Pier apparently had a massive fire as well. Burned down the whole thing. Not sure about Brighton. I'm sure Brighton had a fire. I'm almost... It did. Yes, it did, says the person who is a Brighton fan. Right, it's approaching 6 o'clock. This is an extraordinary story. I was reading this yesterday, but this is a story about police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old wheelchair amputee. They've been cleared of assault.